Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to Exodus chapter 26, where we're going to start at verse 30, which says, "Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain." Moses is on Mount Sinai. He is receiving very detailed information from God as to what this tabernacle, this tent of meeting for the people of Israel with God, is supposed to look like once it's finished. I imagine in my mind that Moses is walking through a 3D representation of what it needs to look like when it's done. And he's jotting down all of the dimensions, and he will eventually hand all of this over to a man that we've yet to meet, Bezalel, that happens to be his grandnephew. And this young man will take the lead in making sure this all happens. And it's important that it happened exactly according to the plan, because there are symbols involved in it, as the book of Hebrews makes very clear, that will endure right into the new covenant period. All right, so far we've talked about the Ark of the Covenant itself, the throne of God, if you will. We've talked about the table of the bread of God's presence. We've talked about the menorah, the lampstand, and we've talked about the framework, the open framework, which then has drapery over the top of it, which will be the shrine building itself. And it will be divided into two parts. The Holy of Holies, which is the back area, will be where the Ark of the Covenant is located, and that is God's internal throne room. It'll be 10 by 10 by 10 cubits. Then you have the front part of the building, the shrine building, which will be the holy place where the priests will do their daily work. And it will then be further divided by veils, we're about to read about. So here we go. Verse number 31 says, "You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and finely twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully woven or worked into it." So this sounds very similar to the description of the drape that is the first layer over the framework of the tabernacle building. So it sounds like the embroidery or the tapestry work that is now going to be serving as a curtain or a dividing veil between the two rooms. That is the Holy of Holies, where God's tabernacle or God's ark is in the back, and the holy place where the priests are doing it their work daily in the front. So this material, verse 32, says, "It shall be hung on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold on four bases of silver." So now we find out that there's these four pillars. Probably the two outermost pillars are right up against the wall of the tabernacle itself, and then a couple of supporting pillars in between that. There may be some sort of framework above that. It's not made clear. But verse 33 says, "You shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the Ark of the Testimony in there within the veil, and the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy." Now you remember the clasps that we talked about earlier are part of the connecting mechanism between the back tapestry work and the front tapestry work. And these clasps, there's 50 of them, go right across the top of the tabernacle and down each side at exactly the dividing point between the two portions of the tabernacle shrine building. So these posts that we're talking about, these pillars that we're talking about, are somehow lined up with that clasp line, And then the tapestry that we're now talking about is hung from those clasps and draped down. Now, I happen to believe that it was made of two curtains. I can't prove that, but I strongly suspect that that would be helpful in order for the accessibility of this room in the back from the front. Verse 34. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. The actual Ark of the Covenant is a box that is gold lined and gold covered, and it has a way that you can put things inside of it. And then there is this very decorative overseat that is placed on top of that. So Moses is being reminded that, remember, the Ark of the Covenant has two parts to it. There is the actual box itself, and then there is the mercy seat that's made of gold that includes the two decorative cherubim on each side. Cherubim, remember, are angelic beings that are around the base of God's throne, according to the book of Ezekiel. They're real. They're not just symbolic. They have four faces, four wings, and these two cherubim are on each side of the mercy seat, and two of their wings on each side go up and over the top and form a canopy or an awning, because the Ark of the Covenant is a very decorative throne. It is not, as way too many presentations of it depict, a decorated box for containing things. It is God's sedan chair. It is his portable throne. It is a chariot, not with wheels, but with rods that allow it to be carried by the priests. And those rods go along the short sides of the sedan chair. Verse 35. You shall set the table, that'd be the table of the bread of God's presence, outside this veil that we just described, and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite the table. So that means the table of the presence is on the north wall of the holy place where the priests do their work every day. And the menorah, the seven-branched lampstand, is on the south wall of the tabernacle, the holy place of the tabernacle. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia. So we've got five for this screen instead of four for the other. And overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five bases of bronze for them. Now, the three metals that are used in the tabernacle are in declining relevance of honor. Gold, which is attached to everything that is dedicated specifically to God. Then you have silver, which is the next level that is also very important and precious and very durable. And then you have bronze, which is the more durable of the three metals. And most of the bronze you will see on the outside of the tabernacle, while the gold and silver tend to be on the inside. So there is a screen or some sort of curtain arrangement on the front side of the tabernacle as well. And this is probably closed at night and opened during the day to allow entry by the priests as they're doing their work. Now we move outside into the front court. Chapter 27. You shall make the altar, and this is the altar for sacrifice. Of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square and its height shall be 3 cubits. So we're going to have 4 boards made of acacia wood that are 5 cubits long and wide. Now, how thick they are, we are not told. They're probably somewhere less than a handbreadth, which is right around 3.5, 4 inches. But 5 cubits, according to the long cubit I've been using, and I think that's appropriate, would make it 8 feet, 7.5 inches. Now, that's a pretty tall board, so it might actually be made up of multiple boards that are somehow affixed to one another. But you might be able to find some acacia trees that you could get singular boards of this length and width out of. So these are going to be covered in bronze to make them more durable, but they're going to be fixed in a square. Verse number 2, and maybe I should mention this again. Think about how tall this thing is. It is taller than most people can, well, none of the Israelis are going to be able to see over the top of it because it's a little over 7 feet tall. But it is going to have a great work on the inside of it for where the sacrificial burning will take place. So this is a fire grate. This is a, it's, please take this under advisement, all right? I'm intending it to just be a means of us thinking about what this is going to be used for. This thing is a huge, massive barbecue grill. That's what it is. And so it is over 7 feet tall, 7 feet wide, and it is squared. Verse 2, you shall make horns for it at its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Now these horns are to represent strength, because animal horns represent strength symbolically. Now, I don't know whether or not these horns were accurate representations of animal horns, as in probably big old bull horns, or were they stylized so that it was basically just a curving horn on each side or each corner of this altar. I'm not altogether certain which one would be true. Later altars that we've been able to dig up that were made of stone had a stylized corner horn. It was just basically a diagonal or a pointed stone at each of the 4 corners of the altar. But that was working in stone. This is working in bronze. And so they would have been able to make an actual well-designed, two-scale bronze horn of a bull. Now, what they'll be used for later, we'll describe. So you've got this altar that's completely encased in bronze with the bronze horns on the corners. Verse 3, you shall make pots for it to receive its ashes, because they're going to burn this thing all day long. And a lot of ashes are going to be dropping down below the grate, and those ashes need to be scooped up and carried away. So here's the pots for that, and shovels, and basins, and forks, and fire pans, because you need the big forks to manipulate the meat that's being burnt up on the altar. And you need the fire pans in order to keep the fire through the night and restart the fire from the coals that have been kept from the previous day's burning. Because once this altar is ignited by the fire of God, it's never to be allowed to go cold. So we need fire pans for that. Fire pans are also going to be used to move coals into the tabernacle building, into the shrine building, where they will be used to ignite incense. And so that's important too. You shall make all its utensils of bronze, because bronze is a very durable metal. Verse 4, you shall also make for it a grating, a network of bronze, and on the net you shall make four bronze rings at its four corners. You shall set it under the ledge of the altar so that the net extends halfway down the altar. So effectively, we've got this squared 7 foot plus high and wide box. And then on the inside of that box, about halfway down, you will install this bronze grate. And this grate will probably have to be replaced multiple times through the life of this altar, because it will get hot and stay hot every single day of its use. And eventually that breaks metal down. We know that. So this will allow things to be put on the top and burned up, and then the ashes will drop down below that. And since the altar is probably sitting up off the ground on some feet, the priest will be able to scoop the ashes from underneath and take them away to an appropriate location. Verse number 6, you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. And the poles shall be put through the rings so that the poles are on the two sides of the altar when it is carried. This is the largest thing that is kept in one piece that is going to be moved on a regular basis, I believe. And so they have these poles that have to be much longer than the seven, the 8 foot, 7.5 inch long grate, or excuse me, the altar itself. So we're talking about poles that must be 20 plus feet long, with multiple individuals helping to carry this. So it is portable and massive. Verse 8, you shall make it hollow with boards. The hollow means there's nothing on the inside until you put the grate in place. The grate will probably be carried by itself, I suppose, between locations. That way it can be swapped out if it's starting to get some wear on it, or maybe even have some repair done on certain portions. But anyway, the altar by itself has nothing in the center until you put the grate in place. As it has been shown you on the mountain, so shall it be made. Now we move to a different topic. You shall make the court of the tabernacle. So we've got the shrine building, and we've got the altar that's going to sit in the forecourt of the shrine building, and we've got the things that are going to go inside the shrine building itself. But there's going to be a perimeter fence that goes around the entire tabernacle shrine building to designate where the priests will be doing their work day by day on behalf of the people that are coming to worship. And so this fabric fence is described next. On the south side of the court, the court shall have hangings of fine twisted linen, 100 cubits long for one side. Now that's the cumulative length. When we're only talking about the panels, we'll get to that later. But 100 feet, excuse me, 100 cubits when we use the long cubit, would be 172 feet and 6 inches. So that's a very long side. So on the south side, that's what you have. It's 20 pillars, and its 20 bases shall be of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. So this 100 cubit side is divided into 20 sections. And this This lets us know that the fabric sections of this wall are of manageable size because they will need to be folded up and transported from place to place. And so you can't have some 100 cubit long piece of fabric that needs to be folded up and transported. That's just too much fabric. It would just be ungainly. You've also got the posts that are going to be needed in order to make this fabric wall. And you have to have the attachments that allow this wall to be built. And you shouldn't keep in mind, because it's not mentioned, you are also going to need the ropes that will be used in stabilizing these pillars from which these fabric wall sections are going to be hung. We'll hear about the tent pegs later, but we won't hear about the massive number of ropes, the stabilizing ropes that'll be needed for this. Verse 11, and likewise for its length on the north side, there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, its pillars 20, its bases 20, and of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. So we know that the length east to west is 100 cubits for the tabernacle courtyard. Verse 12, the breadth of the court on the west side, there shall be hangings for 50 cubits with 10 pillars and 10 bases. And so we've got the width now, which is 50 cubits. And so that would be 86 feet 3 inches using the long cubit. And it's in 10 sections. And the breadth of the court on the front to the east shall be 50 cubits. Now that's the entry direction for this tabernacle courtyard. So it is not a solid wall of fabric. Instead, it's got two sides with a middle opening. Verse 14, the hangings on the one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits. So that's 25 feet, 10 and a half inches, with their three pillars and three bases. So we've got that division. And you'll notice we're seeing about 5 cubits as the small section of this fabric wall. So that'd be about 8 foot, 7.5 inches. That's a very reasonable bit of fabric in order to transport from place to place. Verse 15, on the other side, the hanging shall be 15 cubits with their three pillars and three bases. For the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twisted linen embroidered with needlework. It shall have 4 pillars, with them 4 bases. So 20 cubits is how big the entry area is, and it is more decorative than the other parts of this fabric wall. And it's 20 cubits, so that'd be 34 feet 6 inches. It's divided up into 4 panels, and more than likely, this allows easy access by drawing back this curtain. As an alternate, it's possible, I think, that this gate simply stood a little ways in front of the line of the opening, or a little bit behind the line of the opening, and you simply went around it. Kind of like you see in modern day no-door bathroom areas to try to keep people from having to open and close doors when they go into the bathroom. You just simply go around a dividing wall. And so that may be a potential way that this is arranged at the entry. But it's still going to be highly decorative, because this is where you first, as a worshiper, come into contact with the worship area. Verse 17, all the pillars around the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, their bases of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the breadth 50, the height 5 cubits. So this is the first time we find out that this fabric wall is 5 cubits high, which means it's 8 feet 7.5 inches tall. You can't peek over this thing very easily at all. But you can see the shrine building, because the shrine building is twice this height. So if you're standing outside in the camp of Israel, you will see the top of the tabernacle shrine building jutting up above this very high fabric wall. Verse 19, all the utensils of the tabernacle for every use, all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. The pegs that are being referred to there are the tent pegs. So you attach a little bit of rope to some part of the fabric, and then you stretch it tight and attach it to a tent peg that's going into the ground to anchor and stabilize either a post or a piece of fabric. Verse number 20. You shall command the people of Israel that they may bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may be regularly set up to burn. So we need the high-grade olive oil for the tent. The lamp of God, the 7-branch lampstand, is going to be running all the time. So they need the best smokeless variety of olive oil for that. And the people are the ones that need to provide that, because they are responsible for not letting the lamp of the Lord go out. Well, once again, we're kind of coming to a point where we're out of time. And I want to mark our place right here at the end of chapter 27, verse 21, where we've got just a little bit of a summary verse, so that we can take this back up tomorrow when we get back into God's Word.